this district, the third district, is really awesome, right? I'm very biased. You've got 16 counties. I call them the Sweet 16. And it's very diverse, right? You've got the most populated county in the state is in this district. We're here, Polk County. And you have the least populated county in the state in this district. And that county is Adams County, where the county seat is Corning, which is famous because of the birthplace of who?
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson, you got it right. Little third district trivia here today. You know, on weekends I come home. When we're not in session in Washington, D.C., I come home. We're in our work period right now, and I couldn't think of a better place to be than here in the third district in Iowa, especially at the state fair. Yeah, and now in Congress, I wanted to make sure that I had a real impact and could hit the ground running for Iowa. And so I sought a seat on the House Appropriations Committee. You may wonder, well, what's the big deal there? Well, the Appropriations Committee, we've always had a history of Iowans serving on that committee, watching the federal budget, watching where your tax dollars go, making sure that we could bring as much accountability and oversight to your tax dollars. Tom Latham was on the House Appropriations Committee. Tom Harkin was on the House Appropriations Committee. Neil Smith was, Jim Ross Lightfoot. And I wanted to make sure that Iowa had a voice there, because there is one time in Iowa where we had 11 members of the U.S. House, representatives. Now we're down to 4. And so strategically, we want to be placed as a delegation on both sides of the aisle to make the best impact where we can and when we can. Now, I'm on 3 subcommittees on the Appropriations Committee, the Agriculture Subcommittee, Homeland Security Subcommittee, and the Transportation Subcommittee. Now, as you know, the federal budget is very big. It's massive. And so having a seat there, having the secretary department heads come down, the agency heads, you really get a real dialogue and back and forth to understand where your taxpayer dollars are going. Sometimes you get too close to look, right? We know that the federal government is not a profit-making body. It's not a private organization. But I tell you what, they sure could borrow from some of the practices, the management practices and accounting practices that you folks practice every day. And with your own personal budget, with your small business or larger business budget, because it's very important to make sure that you get the best bang for your buck, the taxpayer, because it's the government that works for you, not the other way around. Now, when it comes to budgets, we need to do budgets. This last April, we didn't do a budget. And by law, it says you have to do a budget by April 15th. And if you wonder how we got into a $19 trillion debt, well, maybe it's because we also aren't doing budgets. It's important to do budgets. It's the law. It's the right thing to do. Now, I'm on a bill called No Budget, No Pay. And it simply says this. If you don't do a federal budget by law annually, well, then you should have your pay withheld, and you shouldn't get that paycheck until you get the budget done by law. Yeah. I am the only member of Congress who has followed up on that, saying what I mean and meaning what I say and not taking a federal paycheck from you, the taxpayer, because it's not the right thing until we follow the law and do what's right. Now, that doesn't make me too popular with some folks in D.C., but you know what? That's okay. I don't report to them. I report to the people here in the 3rd District. You're the boss. Now, to get things done, though, in D.C., you can have your two parties, but I tell you what, they need to do in D.C. what we do in Iowa. When there's a problem, we just roll up our sleeves, regardless of where we live, your income, how old you are, your party affiliation, we just get the job done. And so it's important to make sure that you lead in that sense. And so I've led on issues, working across the aisle, and I'll work with anyone to get things done for Iowa. Now, we passed the Every Student Succeeds Act. You know what that is? In a bipartisan way. You remember No Child Left Behind? Remember that was supposed to be the end-all, cure-all to any educational woes that we had and supposed to strengthen our classrooms and our students and prepare them for the next century? It failed. It was a failure. Now, it took a while, but Democrats, Republicans, teachers' unions, administrators, parents got together and they said, this is not working. It didn't matter about party affiliation. What mattered was the kids, the students. And so we repealed No Child Left Behind, and we sent power of the classroom and what happens there back to the local communities, back to the states, back to the parents and teachers and administrators, because A parent should be the ultimate arbiter of how a child is educated, not somebody at the U.S. Department of Education in Washington, D.C. A one-size-fits-all approach just doesn't work. Many, many times it just doesn't work, especially when it comes to education. Brooklyn, New York is not like Brooklyn, Iowa. Corning is not like Seattle. We do things very differently here, and we are attentive to the needs of our students. You know, students and teachers have a special relationship, and you shouldn't have the federal government get in the middle of them. People in D.C. may care about kids, and I know they do, but they're not in the classroom. They don't see the face of these kids, and they don't understand sometimes that teachers, they want to teach, and they teach differently to kids. And so we return that in a bipartisan way back to our local communities, in a bipartisan way. Also, we passed a five-year road bill. We are a growing area around here in central Iowa, and other areas of the state as well are growing. And we have many commodities out there where we have to get them to market. So we passed a five-year transportation bill, a highway bill. On final passage, I voted for it, was proud to, in a bipartisan way. We also want to make sure that we have safe roads and safe streets to make sure that our families are traversing on them in a safe way. You know, you get things done when you work across the aisle. It doesn't mean you have to give up your principles, your morals, your ethics. Compromise doesn't have to be a dirty thing. If you come together and work on what is the right thing to do, regardless of who gets credit. Now, what I'm hearing from a lot of folks around the district is you've been familiar with those phone calls or those emails you get promising you've won the lottery, or it's the IRS who you owe money to. People are getting scammed every day. There are people out there who wake up every morning and they want to rip you off. They devise schemes to bilk you of your hard-earned dollars. So I started a bipartisan congressional task force to prevent identity theft and fraud in a bipartisan way, and it's growing, and we're helping people bring awareness to these situations. The grandparent scam, have you heard about that one? You've heard about the IRS calling you saying you owe money, or Medicare saying you need to do this or that. I'll tell you what, when it comes to the federal government, they're going to contact you by the mail. The grandparent scam is one of the most nefarious scams out there. A grandparent will get a phone call, and it'll be the voice of a youngster saying, "Grandpa, Grandma, I need your help. I'm on vacation with some friends. I don't want to tell Mom and Dad what's going on. Can you help me?" And out of the goodness of a grandparent's heart, they help. But we need to stop this, and in a bipartisan way, our task force is getting things done. Our service members, we have to look out for. I had an amendment passed to the Department of Defense authorization bill, making sure that the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, is protecting the identity and personal information of our soldiers, because they can't be worrying about what's going on back home. They need to be worrying about what's going on in front of them on the front lines, our men and women serving us. And speaking of service, for all the veterans here, thank you, but you deserve more than thanks. You deserve action. We've heard about many veterans, about 20 a day taking their life. Imagine that. Now, what can we do to help them? Well, first of all, we learned about the VA crisis line is going unanswered. That's the crisis line, the suicide prevention line, where people are supposed to pick up the phone and help veterans work their way through some of these mental war wounds that they've experienced. But about 1 out of 3 of these phone calls or text messages are getting answered. And I said enough is enough. And it really hit home when we had a veteran come to our office, needed help, helped him with his benefits, and he had some PTSD issues. It was a weekend when he tried to call the VA crisis line 4 times and got no answer. He called one of our staffers. Fortunately, he had her cell phone number, and she helped walk him through some issues. But what would have happened if she wouldn't have answered that phone? What would have happened? I have a bill called it's pretty simple. You hear a lot of the acronyms out there in Washington, D.C. This is simply called the No Veterans Crisis Line Call Should Go Unanswered Act. Pretty simple, right? And we've had a hearing on it in the VA committee, the Veterans Committee. We're hoping to get committee and floor action here when we come back into session in September. And we need to make sure that we get that done. But regardless, I'm asking you to contact Secretary McDonald at the Veterans Department and demand that they fix the crisis line. Our veterans deserve so much better. So much better, folks, and you know it. Now in Van Meter is the Iowa Veterans Cemetery. And if you haven't been there, you need to go there. It's right there on the interstate. It's hallowed ground up on a hill. Down at the base is the Raccoon River and then Van Meter. We need to make sure that we remember why we have these liberties, these freedoms. It's because of our soldiers, our men and women who put their life on the line. Now, the other issues I'm hearing out there about economic security, national security, and securing our constitutional rights. Economically, in the agriculture areas in rural parts of Iowa, ag income was down a third last year. Can you imagine that? That's a real gut punch to anybody who's had their paycheck cut by a third. Real median income hasn't really risen in over a decade. This economy could be doing so much better, and people look to Washington for the solutions. Well, if they do any more, it's going to get any worse, right? If they think they can solve this problem. I tell you how you solve this problem. You take the 75,000-page tax code, you flatten it, you simplify it, you make it fair, and you make it permanent, right? Because there's so much money out there that people have sitting on the sidelines. They want to invest. They want to create jobs. But if you don't know what the rules are, you're not going to do anything. You're going to sit on it. And also, our rules and our regulations are out of control. Regulators regulate. And if they're not regulating, they're worried about their job. Well, we're putting them on notice. We passed a bill called the RAINS Act, which simply says this. Any department or agency that puts out a rule or regulation of $100 million or more in economic impact on the economy, which is going to be most of your regulations, well, then Congress has to vote on it. When Congress votes on it, there's accountability. And with accountability comes change, right? It's at the ballot box. And we don't even know who's putting out these rules and regulations. I have a bill called the Fingerprints Act. Simply says this. You roll out a rule or regulation under any administration from any department or agency. Whoever writes it, they got to put their name on it. When you do business, you put your name on it. When I introduce a bill or an amendment, I put my name on it. When you have ownership of something, you're going to offer a better product. There's going to be more accountability. That's what we need. We need more accountability with this federal government. National security is at the top of the list of many people's minds. Sometimes it's at the front of their mind. Sometimes it's at the back of their mind. But we need a strategy to combat terrorism. Plain and simple. And I'll work together with any president and anybody across the aisle or within my own party to help bring this to the front and to help make sure, first of all, that our military and our soldiers are ready and protected. And that not only we work together across the aisle, that we hold these other countries accountable who have skin in the game in other parts of the world to get on board, and let's just lead and let's take care of this. Now, our constitutional rights and liberties people are concerned about as well. When it comes to the EPA's Waters of the USA rule, we all want clean water and clean air, but when they put out a rule or regulation that's going to regulate 97% of Iowa's land, and they really don't take the stakeholders' beliefs and opinions in place when they do this, that's a problem. That's a real problem, and that's a private property rights issue. The IRS has been out of control. You remember what they did when they were intimidating conservative groups because of their message, their assembly, and what they were doing? That's wrong. Our First Amendment's rights are sacred. And it would be just as wrong, and if it was a Republican president doing that to Democrat or liberal groups. It's wrong. Our First Amendment right is sacred. And when it comes to our First Amendment, in the Constitution, we often really focus on religion, freedom of speech, press, and assembly. But don't forget about the right to petition your government, to make sure that your voice is heard, and that you're holding those who serve you accountable, and that they have your ear. And I want you to know that I am listening to you. The best solutions, the best opinions, the best comments, the best questions come from right here in the 3rd District, not out in the swamp of Washington, D.C. I'm on the ballot here in November, and I'm asking for your support. I'm asking for your vote. And I'm asking you to further be involved in self-government. Because without you, we've got big problems. You have to get involved. We can right this ship and steer this ship the right way, but you have to be involved. Thank you for your time. It's getting a little drizzly out here, but I'm going to go get something on a stick, and I hope you do too. God bless you. Have a great day.